Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Continuing to go around the NFC South, now we check in on those Dirty Birds. Will McFadden, writer for The Falcoholic, host of the Believe in Falcons podcast. Will, how are you? And thanks for the time.
Yeah, I'm doing well, Christian. I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. So let's start with Atlanta right now. Matt Ryan's gone. He's with the Indianapolis Colts. Marcus Mariota believed to be the guy behind Matt Ryan, or the starter now with Ryan gone. How much faith do Atlanta Falcons fans have in Mariota?
Well, I mean, at the moment, I kind of don't know if people really know how much faith to put in him, honestly. I mean, it's one of those where it's kind of like a quarterback who, right, like when the Saints got Jameis Winston, that's at least a quarterback that you saw twice a year for basically 4 or 5 years leading up to that acquisition. So Saints fans had a pretty good idea of what to expect. Marcus Mariota coming from the AFC, where he's with Tennessee and Oakland and now Las Vegas, I guess. But yeah, there's not a lot of Falcons fans, I think, that have much history with Marcus Mariota. So they're taking the word of Arthur Smith, and really I think they're putting their faith in that connection, that the person who should know Marcus Mariota best is Arthur Smith, his former offensive coordinator. And if he believes in him and if he thinks that he's the right player to maybe probably be a bridge quarterback, you know, I don't think the expectation is that Marcus Mariota becomes the new franchise quarterback after Matt Ryan. But I do think that there is maybe an expectation that you could get like one, maybe two solid years out of him if things go according to plan. And then if not, because there is no history here, they could easily just move on to Desmond Ridder, and I don't think there would be really much of an outcry from the fan base at all. So kind of the ball's in Marcus's court. How he starts the season really will dictate, I think, the way that fans feel about him.
Drake London going to the Falcons, eighth overall. I would imagine a lot of Falcons fans like that selection.
It's a little bit of a mixed bag. Because, you know, I think that for so many years, the Falcons pass rush has just been, I mean, pretty bad, abysmal, frankly. I mean, for lack of a better word, it's was last in the league last year by a large margin. And a lot of people knowing that the talent of the pass rushers, kind of especially at the top of the draft, were talking about the Falcons addressing a key need with a great player. And, you know, you obviously see Jermaine Johnson fall kind of into the late 20s before he ends up going. And so maybe the teams in the NFL felt that this was a three-person pass rush or defensive end class before there was another tier. So the Falcons clearly knew that wide receiver was a huge hole after the Calvin Ridley suspension, Julio Jones traded last year, obviously. They had Olamide Zaccheaus at the top of the depth chart. We have seen them draft Drake London. We've seen them bring in Bryan Edwards. We've seen them bring in, you know, Auden Tate, Damier Byrd, a lot of not, you know, proven wide receivers, I would say, but at least guys that have some experience in the league and could fill a certain role. Drake London, though, should slot immediately into their X. I think that he profiles and compares pretty well to like a Mike Evans. He's going to have a big catch radius, basketball background, jump balls, a lot of things like that. I think we're going to see with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder's athleticism a little bit more bootlegging, split the field, kind of get the quarterback out in space and away from those pass rushers a little bit more. And that's where I think Drake London's size and vertical ability is going to help this offense, because when you cut the field in half, you have fewer options. So you need guys that can win in contested situations. And Drake London did that all throughout his career at USC.
You mentioned Marcus Mariota perhaps being a placeholder, a bridge quarterback. Is Desmond Ridder the guy he's holding the place for?
Yeah, that's a great question, honestly, because I think there are a lot of people who felt throughout the pre-draft process, obviously Malik Willis was talked about as the player who had the highest ceiling. But I think there are a lot of people who felt that Desmond Ridder wasn't too far behind him. And we saw his athletic numbers at the combine. The dude is really underrated for his athletic ability. You know, I think that when you look at a player like Ryan Tannehill, there's similar athleticism there. You know, I don't know if he's as athletic as a Colin Kaepernick, but I don't think that they're too far off from one another. So the Falcons added some serious athleticism in Ridder. The key here, though, is really his throwing ability. And his accuracy can be really good at times, but it's extremely inconsistent. And a lot of that is tied to, you know, footwork. A lot of that's tied to just his kind of throwing mechanics. And so that's stuff that can get cleaned up. We saw, you know, Josh Allen's kind of progression in the NFL, because a lot of the questions about him were his accuracy, his consistency. Can he, you know, make every NFL throw every single time? And that's the same type of question that people have about Desmond Ridder. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to become Josh Allen, because there's a lot of things that Josh Allen has that Desmond Ridder does not. But I do think that some of his flaws at the moment are flaws that are fixable and correctable in an NFL facility with a coaching staff that knows how to correct that. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident that we'll see Desmond Ridder at some point this season. The Falcons' first seven games are brutal, so that may really play a factor in all of this. If they start out 2-5, you know, even 1-4 or something, do we see Desmond Ridder much earlier maybe than we might otherwise? I think that's definitely on the table. The question here, though, is that to Desmond Ridder's benefit? Because, you know, he does have some key areas that he needs to be coached up. And so he might be a player that probably does benefit from more time learning under Marcus Mariota. And to Marcus's credit, he said today that he does not mind, you know, working with Desmond, getting him, you know, up to speed, because as Marcus put it, like a better quarterback room benefits everybody in that building. So the Falcons definitely have a mentor-mentee situation. It's just how quickly can they get Desmond Ridder's flaws at least up to NFL caliber. And then from there, you know, I think the upside is definitely there for him to be a starter for this team. I don't know for how long. I don't know if he's Matt Ryan, but things could get interesting.
Will McFadden, writer for The Falcoholic, host of the Believe in Falcons podcast. Will, what are the Falcons going to do on defense?
Man, they are, outside of, you know, A.J. Terrell and Grady Jarrett, those are the two household names. It's a lot of figuring out solutions, because there's a lot of questions right now. They need answers. And that's kind of what it feels like their approach is a little bit on defense this year. They've got a lot of guys who I think are kind of similar caliber. And I think they're going to see who can really emerge, who can, in training camp, steal a job, take a job, control a job, and really shine. Hopefully people step up in that way. There's a chance that they may not. I think that Casey Hayward was an awesome signing for this team as the kind of second cornerback spot. So I think that they're actually going to have a little bit of an underrated secondary, I think, to open the season, because Isaiah Oliver, their slot corner, was playing really, really well in his first season under Dean Pease, their defensive coordinator, before he sustained an ACL injury. And the Falcons elected to bring him back on a one-year contract, because prior to Dean Pease, you know, he was viewed a little bit as a bust, as a second-round pick. He never really panned out at corner. They slid him inside to the slot. He was playing really well. So I think between Casey Hayward, Isaiah Oliver, A.J. Terrell, and then in the secondary, second-round pick Richie Grant, I think a lot of people have high hopes for. Jalen Hawkins, as a third-year player, is pretty good in spurts. And then Eric Harris is a veteran. They have a good secondary. Their linebacker core, a lot of rumors that Deion Jones could be heading for the exits pretty quickly here once June 1st rolls around. We'll obviously see whether or not those rumors are true. Bafoye Aluokun, the NFL's leading tackler, gone in free agency to Jacksonville. So they drafted Troy Anderson, an incredibly athletic player out of Montana State. And then they got D'Angelo Malone, brought in Rashawn Evans, Lorenzo Carter. So their linebacker group is going to look totally different. And then, as I mentioned, the defensive line, not much has changed there. I think to a lot of Falcons fans, kind of dismay a little bit. But they're going to have a lot of free agency or cap room for free agency next year. I think that you could see them really target some marquee positions in the trenches. So all of that's a long answer to say we don't really have any idea of what this Falcons defense is going to look like this year, because you're going to see new faces in some key spots basically outside of the secondary. So it could be really good. It's hard to imagine it could be really worse than it was at times last year, but that's the side of the ball I think most people are really interested to see because of just the infusion of new blood.
How is Terry Fontenot perceived?
So far, so good. You know, I was on his introductory press conference and got the chance to talk to him and kind of, more importantly, see how everybody else reacted to him. And I think he won the room over very quickly, about as quickly as I've seen somebody in an NFL setting kind of just win over jaded media types. And he really does come off as a sharp guy who gets it. I think that you're seeing the Falcons. It's just tough to grade him so far because of the financial restraints that Atlanta's had. But you are seeing the draft picks are clearly a little bit more in the mold of these freak athlete types, you know, the players who are rare. Obviously with Kyle Pitts last year, Drake London this year, size is clearly a factor there, but it's more the combination of players that are that big just shouldn't move the way that they should. And then more in the later rounds, really athletic players has kind of been their model in the draft. But where Terry made his bones, obviously, in New Orleans was in free agency and was finding these kind of gems in free agency. We saw last year nailed Cordarrelle Patterson. Obviously, that was a clear fit for what Arthur Smith envisioned and he wanted to do. And Terry Fontenot got him on pretty much one of the most valuable contracts, I think, in the NFL last year. I think that they have been smart in almost looking at this year as a little bit of a redshirt year as an organization, I think, because they're moving a lot of their cap space off the books. They're clearing it up for next year. But internally in the organization, and this is more Arthur Smith's job, they're not calling this a rebuild. I think that they're maybe almost looking at this as a two-year plan, and you're starting this foundation right now. But you got to win some games. You're going out there to compete. You're doing all of that good stuff. And Terry's bringing in veteran players who have been around the block, who maybe have not been in key roles before, but the Falcons are going to ask them to be in key roles, and they're going to demand, you know, that they play to that level. So, you know, I think that given the financial limitations that they've had, Terry Fontenot's found ways to bring in guys like Bryan Edwards to get people excited. You know, when that signing was made, people were like, oh, Bryan Edwards, you know, South Carolina guy, good potential, let's do it. And so that's not a player acquisition that most fan bases usually get really excited about, but because the Falcons just are nickel and diming these guys out here, he's still found a way to keep the fan base, I think, energized while filling key needs with, you know, dudes who should be able to step in and at least provide something for this football team. So he's done a good job so far.
Will McFadden, writer for The Falcoholic, host of the Believe in Falcons podcast. Will, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it anytime.
Yeah, and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Make sure you reflect and think about those that serve this country and laid their life on the line for this country.
Of course. You got it, brother. Same to you.
Thanks, Will. Will do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.